In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will have their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Annette. Well done for keeping going there. That's always good. We're thinking this season is the season of Epiphany. You may remember we thought a little bit about that last week. Can anyone remember who we were thinking about last week when Nick was here in the season of Epiphany? A little test for you. Anyone remember? The Magi. Thanks, Julia. The Magi, or the wise men. And we remembered the coming of the Magi to Jesus when he was just a young child. And today in this season, I was trying to think, what's this season of Epiphany really all about? Because today we're thinking about the baptism of Jesus. And I was thinking about Epiphany and coming of the wise men and the baptism of Jesus and thinking, what is the thing that connects all these different things together? And I think what it's about beginnings. It's about new beginnings. That was just a little hint of that, wasn't there, in that reading from Isaiah? You know, see, I'm doing new things. There's new things happening. And it's amazing there to hear all of those testimonies of what God is doing. Some new things that God is doing, some things you remember that God is doing. And so this season of Epiphany is all about new beginnings, which I guess is appropriate at this time of year. How are the three people getting on who made New Year's resolutions? I think there was about three people last week that had done them. So how's that going? Anyone keeping going with their New Year's okay, never mind. We won't. You don't have to tell us, really. But, you know, it's an important time of year. It's a time of new beginnings. And Epiphany really fits into that. So today we're thinking about the baptism of Jesus, an important Sunday. We remember that. And you got a little sneak preview there, I think, during the reading. This is an interpretation that you're going to see on this video of what happened that day.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I should be baptized by you. Are you coming to me?
John. John. When we were children, we played by this river. Our mothers called and we ran to them. We followed them. Now there is another call. My Father in heaven, and I must follow.
You are my beloved son. I delight in you. My beloved son. This is my beloved son.
Where's he going?
There are battles which have to be fought alone. Come on.
And this is Matthew's account of that day. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So, the story has shifted. Last week we were thinking about the coming of the Magi, or the wise men, to Jesus when he was just a tiny child or a young child. And now, of course, we've shifted the scene forward. Around 30 years or so, Jesus has grown up. We don't know very much about that. We don't know very much about what happened. We just get one little glimpse of that when he was about 12 years old. But the whole scene has shifted forward to this story of Jesus's baptism. You know, thinking about Epiphany, thinking about new starts and new beginnings, you know, new beginnings, when you have a new beginning, it's important to start things in the right way. This is very much a beginning. And this season of Epiphany, an Epiphany is when something is revealed, something when we see something new and perhaps surprising. And in this story of Jesus' baptism, we see very much a beginning. This is very much a beginning, and in many ways, a new and surprising one. Of course, we're so used to this story, but in fact, there's some very surprising things within it. John is certainly surprised, isn't he? John is quite taken aback. In fact, I think that one of the reasons why I quite like that little video is it brings it out quite well. You know, it really brings out John's sense of shock as Jesus comes along. What are you doing here? Why have you come to me for baptism? Now you might say, what really is surprise? Why is it surprising for John that Jesus should come in this way? Well, of course, John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. Repentance means to turn away from what we know is wrong and to turn to God and to commit ourselves to living in a way that is right. That's what repentance is all about. It's this whole idea of turning around. So instead of facing this way, we turn around to face the other way. We turn away from all that we know is wrong and turn to face to live in God's way again. And John is surprised to see Jesus come to him for this baptism of repentance. He tries to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" It's kind of slightly surprising in one sense, that and amazing really when you think about it, that again, that video draws it out. Well, that John and Jesus probably knew each other as they grew up. We don't, again, that whole bit about we played by the river, that's just been invented by the film. But but actually we do know that Mary and Elizabeth, their mothers, knew each other. We know that from Luke's account. We know that they were in some ways related. They're often thought of as cousins, though I don't think we know the precise nature of their relationship. But we know there were some family ties there between John and Jesus. And John presumably knew Jesus as he grew up. So he must have seen something pretty special in him, mustn't he, as he grew up, to be able to say to him when he came along, "What are you doing here for this baptism of repentance?" In a sense, you've got nothing to repent of. You've got nothing to turn away from. In fact, it's very much the other way around. You know, I need you to baptize me, not for me to baptize you. So what is Jesus doing there? Why has Jesus come to John for this baptism? After all, if you stop and think about it for a moment, you would expect the roles to be reversed. John is doing what preachers are supposed to do. You know, as preachers, we're supposed to say to people, you know, repent, turn away from the wrong things in your life and turn back to God. Preachers are supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be calling people to do that. And of course, Jesus soon will do that. You've only got to turn over another chapter to Matthew 4:17, where you find Jesus comes with this message. What's his message as he comes? He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near to you." That is at the heart of Jesus' message. But Jesus knows that it's important to start things in the right way. So before he steps out into that public ministry of repentance, of calling people to repentance, he comes to John for this baptism. This baptism which symbolizes repentance, which symbolizes turning away from all that we know is wrong and turning back to God. Somebody who I was reading about this as I was preparing for this puts it like this, I think really well. Jesus might well have been up there with John and calling sinners to repent. Instead, he is down with the sinners, affirming his solidarity with them, making himself one with them in the salvation he would in due course accomplish. You see, Jesus wants to start well. He wants to start his ministry in the right way. He doesn't want to come in as some high and mighty, holier-than-thou preacher who's basically going to say to people, you know what, you lot are all rubbish. You know, you need to get your life sorted out. He is calling people to repent, but he's not doing it as some sort of holier-than-thou, high and mighty, I'm better than you preacher. Although, actually, he is the one person who could have done that. Jesus is the one person who could have done that. Even his cousin or his family relation, John, recognizes that this man doesn't have anything to repent of. I mean, how many people let's be honest, in our families and in ourselves, can we actually say that about? You know, John recognizes that this Jesus doesn't have anything to repent of. Jesus is the one person who could have come in and said, actually, do you know what? I am better than you. But what does he do? No, he takes this step of baptism to identify himself with us. He takes this baptism, he goes through this baptism, this symbolic way of saying, I mess up, I get things wrong. And if Jesus does that, if Jesus is prepared to identify with us in that way, then we who do mess up and do get things wrong, what do we have to be high and mighty or holier than thou about? Absolutely nothing. Jesus wants it to be done right. He wants to start in the right way. He says as much to John, doesn't he? He says, when John challenges him and says, why have you come to this? He says, it's proper, which you could say it's right for us to do this. And yes, in that new beginning, we see a surprising revelation. This is the surprising revelation about this passage. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, of course, to us, that probably doesn't seem so surprising because we probably know the story. But just imagine what it would have been like to be there, to have that extraordinary revelation, that extraordinary epiphany, to see that, to see something so new and surprising, that God the Father would say this over his Son, over Jesus, that God would say that over anybody. This is a new and surprising thing. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is an epiphany. This is a new and surprising revelation. This is a new start, a right start. And we see it where? We see it in baptism. We see it in Jesus' baptism. You see, baptism matters. Baptism is important. Now, actually, you might have seen that in the news this week. You might have seen that in the news. There's been some stuff about the Church of England because we are looking to try and revise our baptism service. Because some people feel, and I have some sympathy with them, that the baptism service we have is a bit wordy and a bit difficult to understand. It's been quite controversial about whether this new baptism service that's been suggested is up to the mark or not. But it's not finalised yet, so it's gone out for some experiments, and then it will be reviewed, and then it will come back, and then eventually it will probably get changed a bit, and on we go. But, you know, I think one of the things that's made me, as I've been reading some of that, and maybe you've seen some of it too, is that I think what everybody agrees, whatever they think about the words that have been suggested, is that baptism matters. Baptism is important. It's important to start the Christian life right. You see, in his baptism, Jesus, the one who did nothing wrong, identified with us in our sinfulness. Actually, as we live out our baptism, we must acknowledge our own sinfulness. We have to acknowledge as we live out our baptism that we mess things up and get things wrong. But of course, it doesn't end there. In his baptism, Jesus hears the Father's extraordinary affirmation of him. This is my Son, the Beloved. I am pleased with him. You know, actually, as we live out our baptism as followers of Jesus, as the baptized, we too can know the Father's love, the Father's affirmation, the Father saying to us, you are my daughter, you are my son, I love you, I'm pleased with you. In his baptism, Jesus knew and experienced the indwelling of the Spirit. As we live out our baptism, that same Spirit lives in us. So today, I want us, I guess I'm aware that there may be different groups of people here, but I want us to think about our baptism. For some of us, that may not have happened yet. Well, that's great. Come and talk to me or Dave afterwards, because we love baptizing people. It's great fun. Dave was saying how much we like marrying people. We also like baptizing people. It's good. It's a great thing to do. So we'd love to talk to you about baptism if you haven't been baptized. You know, it is the important marker of the start of the Christian journey. And, you know, if you have put your faith in Jesus and you've not taken that step of baptism yet, then we want to say to you, you need to do that. You know, it's always been a foundational part of the Christian gospel and that we follow Jesus, and the first step in that is to be baptized. So come and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about baptism. We always like an excuse to get the big tank out and get you all wet. But you don't have to if you think, oh, I don't want to do that in that big tank. Then you don't have to. We can do it at the front here with the font instead. It doesn't matter, but we'd love to talk to you about that. So that'll be one group of people here who haven't been baptized yet. Come and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about baptism and what it's all about. You know, for some of you, you will remember your baptism and you'll say, yep, I remember that. I remember making that step of faith and making that commitment. And that's great. I was 11 when I was baptized. And that was good. I remember it. I was thinking about it and this morning as I was preparing for this. I still had much to understand and much that I didn't know and much that I still have to understand and know, really. But, you know, it was good and I thank God for it. Some of you will say, well, I don't remember my baptism. I was only a baby. You know, actually, I want to say to you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you remember it or whether you don't. Because there are two things that are true about any of our baptisms, which are the things that really matter. It's not about whether we remember it or not. It's about these two things. It's about the fact that you were there. And more importantly, well, I suppose it's important that you were there. Otherwise, but you were there and God was there. And that's what matters. See, baptism ultimately is a sign for us of God's grace. So it doesn't matter if you can't remember it, because what matters is that God was there. And if God was there, then you know what? You had a great start. We all had a great start if God was there. What matters now, whether you remember our baptism or whether we don't, what matters is that we continue to live it out. We continue to live out our baptism in the ways we've thought about, in a way that reflects Jesus's baptism. What matters is that we continue to live out that baptism of repentance, that turning away from what we know is wrong to what is right. That we live out and remember and in a sense lean on the Father's extraordinary affirmation of us that we are his beloved children. And that as we live out our baptism, we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to dwell within us. What matters is that we continue to live out our baptism. So today, as I was saying, if you haven't been baptized, then I'd strongly encourage you to come and talk to us about it. If you have, then today, thank God for your baptism. your baptism into the faith and renew your commitment to live your life in the light of it. And we're going to have an opportunity towards the end of our service to do that. And we're not going to do it right now, because actually what I want to do during our time of healing and response, just to give you some time to reflect on that yourself, to reflect on and to thank God for your own baptism. And towards the end of our service, before our final song, we're going to have a time of renewing our baptismal faith, renewing our baptismal commitment. So you've got a few minutes now to reflect on that and to prepare yourself for that. But I strongly, and if you don't want to, then you don't have to. It's not compulsory, but it is an opportunity. And I think above all, as we were thinking about those Thanksgivings, and I was thinking about what I was going to share, and you know, it's about remembering and thanking God and for our baptism. It's really about leaning into and trusting in God again, trusting in what God has done for us as we look back and as we look ahead to the future. For who knows, as we do that, what epiphany God may show us. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. So we come to our time of response, and there are a few things to think about, really. So, as usual, there are a number of options. The worship band are going to come, and they're going to lead some worship. And you might want to respond to God this morning by worshiping him. And if that's what you want to do, you know what? That's great. If you want to, you can come forward, and Mark and I will be here at the front with oil. And we'd love to anoint you with oil and pray briefly for you. And if that's what you'd like to do, that's fantastic. Our prayer ministry team will be hovering over in that corner. Not literally hovering, because that would be a bit odd. But, you know, they'll be over in that corner. And they would love to pray for you. So if there's something that, where, you know, the brief prayer that Mark and I will offer you this morning, you'd like something a bit more, you can go and have prayer over there. So there, and then after you've done all of that, we're going to renew our baptismal vows. So there's lots of ways to respond to God this morning. And the joy of this service is that you get to decide how you want to do that. So a few quick things. As we were praying before the service, a few things that we think God's shown us. So there was a word about regrets. So all of us have regrets. But sometimes the things that that we haven't done that we wished we had can hold us back from running our race. And if that's you this morning, if there are regrets that are holding you back from fully serving God, please come and get some prayer. There's a word about headaches. So if you're suffering with headaches, then do come and get prayer. We'd like to pray for you. There's a word about losing our first love, putting other things before God and losing our first love, our love for God going a bit cold. If that speaks to you this morning, then do come forward and get prayer. And even if you feel like you don't want to admit that to someone, that's okay. Come forward and get prayer. You don't have to tell us what it is that you want us to pray for. Another thing is the word click. So maybe it's you've got joints that are a bit clicky, or just maybe that word speaks to you in another way that I can't imagine. Just come forward and get prayer. And finally, an encouragement to lift our heads, to look to God for blessing, and to stand firm in Jesus, who is our rock in the stormy times of life. So a whole range of words there. If any of those speak to you, don't be shy and don't be daft. Come and get prayer and meet with God this morning. They're God's invitation to you to come and meet with him. So take up that invitation. Don't delay. So why don't we stand together and worship, and Mark and I will be at the front and respond as you want to.